Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Interceding is What I Do. I am Pastor Priscilla E. McCray of International Prayer Center, and I welcome you tonight. We will begin our session with an open prayer, amen, spiritual doors of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are asking you to shut any doors that need to be shut in our lives. We're asking you to open the need, the ones and the doors, Lord God, to be open in spiritual and in a natural realm of our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the doorways, and we ask that the enemy be redeemed, Lord God. Into his own hole, Lord God. Send him back, Lord God. Render him powerless, Lord God, and harmless so that they cannot come back through the doorways of your people, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you bless their homes plentiful, Lord God, their properties, their automobiles, Lord God, their workplaces, their businesses, their finances, their ministries, their spouses' jobs, their children, Lord God, their schools of the children, Lord God, their workplaces, and their friends that they also dearly love, Lord God. We ask that you continue to keep them, Lord God, and protect them, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you move resentment and bitter, Lord God, from our families, Lord God. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, asking that you remove any resentment from our families, Lord God. You are the one who binds up and heals the broken heart, Lord. You receive your anointing in the broken ways, Lord, and destroys every yoke of bondage, Lord. We receive healing and faith according to your words of Isaiah 53 and 5, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank you for sending us, Lord God, your Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge the Holy Spirit as our wonderful counselor. Thank you for healing us, working it out for our salvation with fear and tremble for it all in us, Lord God. who worketh in me, to you, Lord God, that anything, Lord God, that is about you, Lord God, all the things that worketh, Lord God, in your power through me, Lord God, so it will be enacting according to you and your purpose in me, God. In the name of Jesus, we choose to forgive those who wrongly do anything to us, Lord God. We choose to live a life of forgiveness because we are forgiving us, because you have forgiven us, Lord. We repent all of the resentment, bitter, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and along with every form of malice, Lord. We desire to be kind and compassionate to others, forgiving them, Lord God, just as Christ, you, forgave us. With the help of the Holy Spirit and the unction of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, we may have every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. For we know that without holiness, no one will see you. We will watch and pray that we will not enter into temptation or cause others to stumble. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, that you watch over your word to perform it, and that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We declare that we have overcome resentment and bitterness by the blood of the Lord of Jesus Christ and the words of our testimony and our vindictions, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Glory be to you right now, Lord God. We ask that you continue to order our footsteps, Lord God. Continue to guide us and, Lord God, allow us to worship you, Lord God, in spirit and in truth, Father God. For we know that you are a vengeful God, Lord. You said that vengeance is not ours, but it is yours, Lord God. Lord, we lay out all our troubles to you right now, Father God. We're interceding for someone else, Father God. Someone needs you right now, Lord God. Someone is depending on your grace and your mercy right now, Lord God. Someone needs to know that you are able to do it exceedingly and abundantly, Lord God. Someone needs to know, Father God, that you are still God and you still rule and reign over all, Father God. Lord, someone needs for you to encourage their heart, Lord God, to be able to speak life into their own situation, to be able to tell Satan, get ye behind me, Lord God, and continue to look, Lord God, towards the hills and which cometh our help, Father God. We ask that you cover them right now in the blood of Jesus, Lord. We tell you thank you for your red blood, Lord God, for washing us white as snow, Father God. We know that, Lord God, that you are our Father, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that we are able to surrender all unto you, Father God. But, Lord God, your word declared, Lord God, that you've never seen your seed begging bread, Lord. And we're leaving it all up to you, Lord God, to be able to do it for us, Father God. You said that your word, Lord God, said that the meek shall inherit the earth. And we're claiming it right now, Lord God. We're claiming all the joy, the peace, the love, the guidance, the long-suffering, Lord God. Everything that you would have us to be, Lord God. Instill it, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I just tell you, thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, for standing in the gap for your people, Lord God, for crying out to you for your people, Father God, for asking of restoration for your people, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray all these prayers right now, Lord God. We ask that be done, Lord God, sealed and delivered in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. We will continue with our word, amen, as we go forth. Our scripture is coming from Matthew 16 and 21, and that text reads, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Amen? On Matthew 16 and 21, God, we ask that you decrease, Father God, in me. Decrease me, O Lord, that you may be increased, and someone will hear the word of God go forth and be delivered on this day. in the name of Jesus. Now, as I put this together by the help of our Lord and Savior, and he began to minister to me some time ago concerning the scripture. I myself was a basketball player back in school, and when I began to study this, it continued to have me reminded of the Final Four. In basketball, it comes a season when all of the teams have been eliminated and you have the Final Four team, that they come together to decide which shall be the number one. Amen? These are called the Final Four. However, we are not talking about basketball today. Amen? I may be called in a controversy of the concept, but I firmly believe that every step that Jesus took during his earthly journey was an agenda. From the divine perspective, there were no consequences, no accidents, no unforeseen occurrences, if you will. It was not a coincidence that Jesus and the Samaritan woman met at Jacob's well. Somebody's following me. Thank you, Lord. It was an agenda. The Sermon on the Mount did not just happen. It was a program. The healing of the 10 lepers were not just an event. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It was a schedule. At that time, our text, it seems, though Jesus had just about done all the work that his hands had been assigned to do. But checking the agenda, he announces that there are four, my Lord, four things that have not yet been done. Now, I call them the Final Four. Permit me to number them without doing damage, amen, to the scripture. Number one, I must go to Jerusalem. Number two, I must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests. Number three, I must be killed. Oh, hallelujah. Number four, I must be raised up on the third day. Each of these imperatives is loaded with food of speculation. Now, it behooves us to take a serious look at each of the Final Four in our search for the lesson from this last day. I must go back to Jerusalem, my Lord. Now, you ask yourself, why must he go back to Jerusalem? Why not the place where he had the excluded healing of his garment? Why not Jericho, so steep in the history of his people? Or why not Nazareth, where the childhood memories may have brightened from his last day? No. It had to be Jerusalem. Now, many reasons why it had to be Jerusalem. Jerusalem came to mind, but one stands out above all the rest. He could not turn or be returned to his father and leave the temple at the hands of thieves. Come on, somebody. He could not return to his seat in the kingdom until the temple was once more, my Lord, returned into a house of prayer. He knew that the house of God had been turned into a house of mammon. My Lord, have mercy. And instead of silently invoking the Spirit of God, material-minded men were trafficking in filth of the demon. And to add to the seriousness of this situation, the priests were their accomplices. Now, how many times have we been involved in what we call holy temples? And you find yourself when you're involved in holy temples, my Lord have mercy. We have our preachers, our pastors, our evangelists, our ministers, oh my Lord, our bishops, compromising, all right, in the house of God. How are you saying they're compromising, my sister? They're compromising in the house of God because they're allowing money and things of this world to come between the word of God. They're prostituting the gifts that are right there in the house of God. I can't do this for you unless you pay me a certain dollar amount. I can't pray for you unless my prayers are about $50 plus. I can't sing heavenly sounds unto my Father unless you're paying me to do so. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to come in with me here. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Amen? We are allowing the priest to be compromised in the house of God. But see, before Christ ascended, he said, before I go anywhere, I need to go back home. Come on. I need to go back to Jerusalem and get some things set in order in my Father's house. My Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. He said that there are things that are happening right now. The thieves are pleading in the face of his wrath. Before prayer could return to the temple, the marketplace, watch it now, we have become not a temple anymore, but now we have become a marketplace. It had to be brought under control. There had to be some lessons to all of this. The temple had to become, had become a banking institute, changing foreign money into Hebrew coins. In the process of cleansing the temple, Jesus wounded 20,000 priests. Amen? He had to restore some things. He had to move some things. He had to shut some houses down. Come on, somebody. My Lord. Jesus had to move those people out of his Father's house. Now, how could he have done it? You say to me, how were those priests wounded? Those priests was wounded because he had to shortchange their pockets. Huh? He had to move some things out of the reach of them. See, we're depending on the finances that come in through the ministry. But it's not coming in through the ministry. It's coming in because they're prostituting the gifts. Somebody understands what I'm talking about today. Prayer, in the true sense of the word, is no longer heard in many churches. It could be that there is no need for purging in their outer court. My Lord. When prayer was returned to the temple, miracles returned to the temple. When you begin to cry out, I yield, I yield, things begin to happen. Manifestations begin to show. Signs and miracles begin to step in. Amen? Why? Because things are being restored unto God's temple. But we have to release some things on the inside. When these miracles begin to be restored unto the temple, can you not see a blind man coming into the house of worship, dragging his limbs behind him? Master, I have been trying to get here, but I can't see past all the money changers. Hear the cries of the blind. Master, I have been trying to get here, but being blind, I have to be guided by the sound. That means I have to be guided by the sound. I could not hear anyone praying. Obstacles had to be moved so the needy may find their way to the altar. There's no more praying in our church home. There's no more interceding in our church home. There's no more falling out to the altar and bringing your troubles to the altar in our church home. Little children were caught up in this excitement, amen, to see Christ come in and run through this place. Mm. The revivals, and they ran around, they were crying out, Hosea, Hosea, the son of David. The priest rebuked Jesus for this display. Mm. And Jesus said unto them, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and the succulent through, haste, prophetic praise, my Lord. Now, I do not believe that the churches will return to their intended purposes. Miracles and flourishes and praises will abound these people now, my Jesus. Now, so while Christ was standing there, he said, but you know what? I understand. I had to go back and be suffered at the hands of the chief priest and the scribes. I must suffer. How ironic is this that our Lord and Savior, someone that will deliver us out of bondage, someone that will move us out of the way of mammon, someone who will provide us a pathway to righteousness, will have to suffer unto these things. My Lord, he who came to relieve suffering, no proclaim that suffering is his agenda. He said it. I must suffer. That was his agenda. The question that rises up there from the shocking of revelation is why? The answer may shock you, or it may deliver you. There is a divine law that requires where the sin is, suffering, is a capital consequence. We must go through some suffering, long suffering, in Galatians 5. It must be established. You have to go through some things in order for you to understand some things, in order for you to appreciate some situations. You have to go through some things. Amen? And Jesus took it upon himself that my sins, with all of their consequences, to suffer for me. So this is why he must have suffered. For our transgressions, our Lord was wounded. How many of you have stood in the line to be wounded for somebody else? How many of you have cried out for somebody else? How many of you have put your own selfish ways aside and allowed your flesh to be wounded for somebody else? My Lord, have mercy. This is a debt that shall never, ever, and could never be paid back. But you can spend your whole life trying. How could you try to repay this debt unto Christ? By living right, by living holy, by interceding for someone else, by crying out to God, by standing in the gap, amen? By being a living sacrifice, my Jesus. It is commonly thought that his suffering took place on a Friday. But in actuality, the suffering occurred on a Thursday night when the little band that had set his feet for 3 years began to unravel. One betrayed him. Another denied him. Three of them had not stayed awake for 1 hour to watch over him. Jesus, have mercy. When he reached Calvary, suffering had already been swallowed up in the will of God. Needless to say, he did not endure much pain and sorrow for our sins. He did great pain for sorrow for our sins. But it seems to be worse, but it's yet to come. Now then, what Christ said again, he said, certainly, I must be killed. He did not say, I must die. He said, I must be killed. Now, here is a wonderful thing for you to partake of. Any lamb that dies of a disease is not to be offered as a sacrifice. It must be killed. The perfect body of Christ could never have died a natural death. It had to be killed. The book of the Revelations is replete with references to the slaying of the Lamb. The writer tells us that the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, again he writes, worthy is the Lamb that is slain to receive power. Oh yes, he had to be killed. If there is any doubt in your mind as of how he died, a short journey to Calvary should clear that up. They had to lay down a cross upon the ground in the process of nailing the Lord to the rugged cross. We wear crosses of silver and gold, but he wore an old rugged cross. Once nailed securely to that cross, it was lifted up and dropped into a prepared place. It had been suggested that Satan protests the lifting of this cross because he remembered hearing the Savior say, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Because they did this, they lifted him up, the true word of him, to begin to be drawn unto him. Both of the thieves and them, they looked upon him and they believed. The recording is clear. He died on Calvary. But as you not rejoicing with me on this morning, but because it was a part of the final three. But what is said at the end is that I must be raised up. Come on now, somebody. He had to get out a final four. His word said, number one, that I have to go back to Jerusalem. Number two, that I must suffer at the hands of the high priest. Amen. And the third one, he said, I have to be killed. Now, you know that when you have to be killed, when you get ready to get rid of some things, if a lamb had to be killed, that means, my God, if he died of a disease. If he died of a blemish. But, my Lord, if he had to be killed as a sacrifice, there were no spots, there was no blemishes, there was nothing, my Lord. So they had to slay that lamb. But he said on the third day, the final four, on the third day, I will be raised up. I will rise again, amen, and I will take my place. My Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I thank God for the fourth imperative, Jesus. The two greatest days in history of mankind, after that Friday, when darkness covered Calvary and Easter Sunday, when the white robes of angels, who consequently looked like lightning, rolled away the stones of the tomb, there was the body of Jesus that was alive. Now, what happened on the 2 days that he was gone? Somebody ought to know what happened on those 2 days that he was gone. The greatest morning that ever rose upon the darkness and death. Shaken the world was the morning when the two Marys ran with wonder of joy from the gardens of Joseph to the gates of Jerusalem to tell the disciples that the tomb was empty of our Lord and he has been risen. If there had been any gist of the final three, then we would have still been talking about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. Many will be preaching and teaching about a dead Savior. But thanks be to God, there is a fourth act in this drama. Amen. I can tell the world that he did not die, amen, but he still lives. True to his word, Sunday morning witnessed a consecrated king stepping forth from the grave. He rose up, He was raised up as a weak and defenseless Jesus. He gathered power from all sources and worked it down to the hands of Caesar. He declared that all power in the earth
and in heaven were his head. I'm glad about it. He tells me that I had to be asked about the power of mind. Power. Amen. A bullet head and a favorite cry brings power when I need it the most. Power to overcome. Power to withstand. Power to cry out. Power over the devil himself. All power in his hand. Amen. My Lord, there is nothing like crying out to God. I thank God that he had to go back. If you can just put yourself back into a situation, if you can just put your back into back ways, Lord God, amen. Help me, Holy Ghost. I hear you, Holy Ghost, coming on. If you can just think about some time when you had to leave your house, amen, when you were preparing yourself for a high place, when you were preparing yourself to travel out of town, when you were preparing yourself to leave, you had to get your house in order, amen. You had to minister to your kids, amen. You had to make sure your clothes were washed. You had to make sure your house was clean. You had to make sure your laundry was done. Amen? We practice on those things. Oh, I can't have a dirty house. Come on, somebody. I can't have a dirty house come New Year's Eve. But why can't you have a dirty house when your kids are cussing? Why do you have to always have a dirty house when you're not living right? Why do you have to have a dirty house when you're compromising the ways of our spouses? Amen. I'm helping somebody right now. You don't have to compromise anything. Christ said that we are to be Christ-like. That means we are to do the things that he's done. That means we are to live the life that he has lived. Come on, somebody. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. We need not to compromise these things. Christ had to go back to his father's house. He had to clean some things out of the way. Amen. He had to move some things. Amen. So that we, amen, can be sacrificed unto him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You have to know that you have to get your house in order. You cannot stand up. Okay, thank you, Lord. You cannot stand up, amen, and say that I am Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. And then you walk around knowing that you're not. You need to walk around with Christ at the altar of your heart. You need to allow those things to permeate. You need to allow that Holy Spirit to illuminate in your life. When they see you, be not afraid with the titles of man. Amen? Don't worry about a title. Amen? Put those titles aside. Let them see the glory of God that comes through you. You need to put your house in order. Your house starts with the man in the mirror. Amen? When you look at yourself, get yourself as white as snow. Like God said, I will wash you as white as snow with my blood. Can you imagine being washed with some red blood? Come on, somebody. Can you imagine walking into your house and the devil has taken residence in your house? You need to slay some things. You need to move some things out of your way. Amen. You need to fling some oil to and fro. Amen. You need to be able to speak life into those things. There are dry bones going on around you, all right? You need to wake up some things. Some things need to be shaken loose. We are compromising, amen, with our children, amen. We are saying it's all right for our children to look a certain way, amen, because man is looking a certain way. I serve you. Notice that devil is running rampant right now amongst our children. I serve you. Notice that you better get your house in order, because if you don't allow your house to stand by the word of God, it will fall by everything that demonic forces are bringing forth. Amen. Come on, somebody. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You better go home like Christ did and set God's temple in order. Your first ministry is in your home. If you can't do it and you won't allow God to do it, it just can't be done. There's nothing like living life in damnation. God said, I will not allow my temple to be that of a banking institute. I will not allow the prayers for the priests to sit down and get fat off of my people. We must pray one for another in season and out of season. Amen. Come on, somebody. We must allow God to permeate in everything we do. We must allow God to be seen in all of our situations. We must allow God to direct our path. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Amen? But we had to see that miracle be manifested. Christ said, I will rise up on the third day. Everything that he had already proclaimed to be done, the agenda that he set out to do, all the things that he put in order were just that, in order. What are you saying, Sister Pastor? You need to go and get your house in order. Take back what the devil has taken from you. Move those things out of your way so that people can know that you are a prayer warrior. People can know that you are interceding. People will know you by how, by the way you speak, by the way you talk. They will see the God in you, my Lord. But you have to sacrifice yourself. You will be slain and killed. Men will tear you down. Men will put their mouth on you. But you need not worry about it because the word said, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. You need not to worry about what man says about you. You need to know what God says about a thing. Amen? My Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. You are responsible to go ye therefore in Matthew 28. You are responsible. There is no prospective title. Each man needs to go out. Christ went to and fro, back and forth, collecting his disciples. He said, if you believe in me, drop it and follow me. They went fishing on one side. He said, cast them out on the other. My Lord, and catch them all. What does that mean? Go out into the land. Clean up your house so they'll be able to see God. Bring the people in for God to be able to minister to them, minister to their hearts, show them the way to live, show them the way to cry out. Let them know that God still lives. If they see the God in you, my Lord, if they can do it for Pastor so-and-so and Sister so-and-so and Deacon so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, why can't he do it for me? Be a living example for somebody. My Lord. My Lord. Have mercy. Be a living sacrifice. You are having somebody to put you up on that old rugged cross. But I bear witness that if you stay right there, if you don't move out of the will of God, if you suffer through it, and you allow God to move you out, you will be faced with some trials and tribulations. That is where the suffering will come in. But it's up to you to know that you have to stay right there in the will of God. As long as you stay in the will of God, you will be delivered from that thing. You got to stay right there and allow God to do some things in your life. Amen? You have to know that God will do it. You have to know that as long as you know that you know that you know, if you have faith that he'll do it, that's all you need, the faith of a mustard seed. And pray to him, talk to him, find your quiet place. But go home and clean it out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, my Lord, go. And know that God is still God. Know that you have to get your house in order. Know that you will suffer some things. Know that you will go through some things. But know that you will rise up against those things. God will raise you up. Amen? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. Amen? And he will not allow anything to come against you. You have the power in the tongue to bind up those things that are not like God. You have the power to speak life into those situations. Mm-hmm. You have the power to do these things. My father said that he was raised up on the fourth day. I tell you right now, my sisters and my brothers, I thank God for you calling in. I thank God for you praying with me today. I thank God for you receiving the word of God. But I want you to have the final four embedded in your lives. I need you to go and clean out some things. I need you to know that when you begin to clean out some things, that you will suffer at the hand of man. You need to know these things. Christ said that we are to be Christ-like. And if he had to go through, we got to go through. You need to know that they will put you on a rugged cross. You need to know, hallelujah, thank you, God, that you will be set free from these things. You need to know that this is not the end. It is not the death of you. It is not the end of sitting. You need to know to have the final four. The final four. Agenderize yourself. Follow Christ. Be Christ-like. Pray for somebody else. Stand in the gap for somebody else and watch the reward of Christ. Amen. I thank you. God bless you, callers. I thank you, caller 954. I thank you, caller 573. I thank you, caller 754. I thank you, caller 318. I thank you, caller 203. I thank you, callers. I thank you, caller 678. God bless you. Thank you for chiming in to hearing what thus says the Lord. Again, I encourage you. I encourage you to go on. I encourage you to continue to read. I encourage you to stay in the will of God. I encourage you to live holy. I encourage you to help someone. I encourage you to just do right by God. Amen? I thank you, man and woman of God. Be blessed. We meet again on next week, Wednesday, at 7 p.m. We'll be right back here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Pastor Priscilla McCray of International Prayer Center. Again, God bless, and we'll see you then.